I love you, saints. You know, Monica has a great memory for me. From childhood to adulthood to old age. Some might think it changed, but I think it's the same. Let us open our song books to number 9, song number 9. Brother Joseph preached, he was preaching my burden, only he did it in a slightly different angle. Somebody can lead this song.
How sweet this bond of perfectness,
the wondrous one. But Jesus, a foretaste of heaven's fellowship, so precious. Oh, brethren, how this perfect love unites us all in Jesus.
Unites us all.
The thought that I have today is the unity of God's people, the unity of the brethren, and how we get this unity and the things that can hinder unity. Those are the thoughts on my heart. But we can establish the importance of unity in Psalms 133 and 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even forevermore." And I want you to understand that when there is unity among the brethren, it is so soothing. You know, we live in a dark age, an age of hate, an age of violence, an age of dark deeds. But yet, we can be like an oasis in this age with the unity that we have one to the other. You know, we're bound together. Bound. When we give our heart and life to the Lord, we have this unity becomes a part of us at salvation. And when we get sanctified, it even gets better. So I want us to understand we are each other's body, and all of us are the body of Christ. I think about it sometimes. You know, you might have a hand that hurts you really bad. You know, you don't want to cut that hand off and say, "You're no use to me anymore." Or you might have a foot. You say, "Oh my, I can't walk that good. You know, I'm not that good at it, so I might as well get rid of it." No part of your body do you want to get rid of. Not your eye, not your hand, not your feet, not your thumb. And when any of those parts are not going as they should, you feel it. It affects the whole body. How many of you have had just a hurt on a finger, and it seems like your whole body is hurting? Do you know that each one of us are the body of Christ? We can't get rid of each one, not one, not one. We can't do without it. Maybe where you have this talent, you're going to bless me with that talent. And maybe where another one has a talent, they're going to bless somebody else. We need each other. You know that song, "We Need Each Other, Brother"? It's 509, I think, in our song book or something like that. We need one another. We can't do without it. You know, sometimes the world think they know how to make unity. They do. Get a bunch of people together with like minds, and they, you know, go after a certain thing, and that's called unity in the world. But Jesus doesn't see it like that. When we have the unity of God, it's like we're born with it. We're born into Christ. We are a part. It's like the blood flowing from one part to the other. You know, I can get a finger. I can cut my hand in a certain way, and I can lose all the blood out of my system. You know, I can die that way. Well, it's just like this. If you're a finger, that blood is going to flow from that finger to that next hand, to the arm, to the head, to the heart, and it flows all around. The blood of Jesus is flowing from one person to the other person to the other person, and all of us are one body. This is the way Jesus designed it. He said, and that is, let me find it. I believe it's in John, the 17th chapter and the 19th verse. Jesus loves us, and he puts that same love that he has had for us in us for each other. He says, I pray not, I'm starting at 17 and 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. He's talking about his disciples, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also. I appreciate that. I wasn't there when Jesus was here, but I heard. Yes. He says, I pray not for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word. Yes. Thank God for this. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for this blessed way, that they may all be one. This was his design. That we might be one. You know, somebody may not understand the saints. How the love, you don't care what color, you don't care what nationality, you don't care whether you're poor or you're rich. We're all one. It's wonderful, this oneness in Christ. And he says that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us. Look at this unity. Jesus and the Father in Jesus, and we in Jesus, and we in the Father. Isn't that a blessed oneness? We can't drum up this oneness. Camaraderie. There is not oneness. It's people with like mind, people that get along, but that's not the oneness of Christ. You might have good friends, talk to them every day, get along with them and all. That doesn't make the oneness of Christ. What makes the oneness of Christ is born in him. The blood of Jesus makes us one. And he says that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, this is the testimony we can give to the world. We might not have the funds and the things to do all the different things that people think we should do, but one thing we can have is this oneness with each other, oneness in Christ. That is testimony enough, because God will take that and use it and cause others to want to come to him. What draws people, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You shall have love one to another. So you can't leave love out of it, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, and it goes from heart to heart, from soul to soul. We are bound together in Christ. I love this way. Saints, I want to make heaven. The thing, I don't know anything else. Let's go to Romans 12 and 5. It says, I'll start at four. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So, you might be the hand, I might be the foot, but we all are one. And we all help one another. And we all need each other. We can't, if we cast one part aside, we're gonna feel it. And we don't want that. We want this body to flourish in the earth. We want it to be a light. We want to be an oasis in this dark time. It's wonderful that we can still live safe and be an example in a time that's so wicked and so turned upside down. But he has some people, and I thank him for it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 to 20. Chapter 12 and verse 12 through 20. Sometimes some people may not understand why at such a late date I'm getting up and doing things. But saints, I don't know how much time I have. What time the Lord has left me here, I feel like I need to be doing something, whatever he says. And I need your prayers. It says, for as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink. Into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? We all have a place. Someone may be good at praying. We need that, right? Someone may be good at writing letters, encouraging people. Some may be good at giving their testimony. Whatever God has given us, whatever we do, we all need those parts. If the whole body were the hearing, where would the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. And if they were all one member, where is the body? We can't all walk around with just being eyes. We couldn't walk. Just being feet, we can't, how are we going to eat and write and do? We need each part of our body. And sometimes I don't think we realize how important a part is until something happens to it. Just like if you are walking, we're walking, and you lose a toe, it will throw your balance off. It will cause a problem. God knows that toe was important. He needed it. We need it. But now, are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable Upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body. He doesn't want any division. We need to fight division. Division is, the enemy is so cunning, he can make division in such unusual ways. Things you don't think about. For instance, maybe I feel it's okay that I could wear a red dress, right? Another person might feel like, I don't think the Lord would help me to wear a red dress. The enemy can get in there, and I walk in church with my red dress on. The person that feel like they can't wear a red dress can have an attitude toward me, and there can become a wall between us. God doesn't want us to have walls. Let's tear down every wall, every attitude, and leave those things, to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about people just blatantly sinning and doing things, but I'm talking about those little things that we have, maybe conscience type things. That there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Do we have the same care for brother so-and-so as we do sister so-and-so? We need to have the same care one to another, not favoring certain people and care about them and leaving the others up. We need to have the same care one for another. And you know, I am so happy because I have found the saints so dear to me. The saints are dear people. I don't have anything to complain about. But I know that if we're not careful, the enemy will get in there. We got to fight division. And if we'll be real careful, the Lord will talk to our heart and show us little things that can create a divisional situation. The Lord loves all of us. He doesn't have a division between us. He loves this one as much as that one. And that he died for each of us. I'm thankful. When Jesus was walking here, and you know the Pharisees they had there, then the Sadducees and all of these sects, and they had all their opinions and everything. Jesus tried to break down, and he did, because he broke down the middle wall of partition between us, creating one body and one new man. And it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Can we rejoice when other people are being praised? And we should be right in there rejoicing with them. They're having, so-and-so got a brand new car. I can enjoy the fact that they got a brand new car. Don't have to be feeling anything about it, because it's my brother and he has something and God has blessed him. We can pray, be thankful with them and rejoice. And now are the body of Christ, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set, and he goes on, and he gives all of the different gifts that he's given. I'm not going to go through that, but we know that no matter what gift the Lord gives us, I think sometimes you might think, well, this person has the gift of health. See? They might not be a preacher. They might not be a song leader. They might not be this. But they have the gift of health. Do you know how important that gift is? I was In Florida, there was a sister that just helped me so much. She would wheel me into the church, help me get in my seat, make sure I got food. The gifts of help. And now the Lord has given me strength where I don't have to be wheeled into the church anymore. But that gift was there and was such a blessing. And saints, let's appreciate one another. But what are some of the things that hinder unity? This was my burden before I even came here. Politics. It's already been mentioned, so I'm not going to go into any detail. But I want to tell you what the Lord showed me in this. It says the Democratic and the Republic Party affiliation genders strife. That's what the Lord showed me. It genders strife. If I say I'm a Republican, then Democratic people will have feelings. That's not what we saints are about. We don't need to be in that because we're one. How can we allow ourselves to get so caught up in those feelings because the enemy will use that against one another? We are one. There are people that are looking down on different races and telling them to go back to their country, but that's not what we're about. How could a saint be a part of that when our brother is from some of those countries? How can we? Let's abandon that stuff. I'm not telling you what to do, but I feel like we need to abandon those attitudes. And you know what? Party. What is party? Isn't that divisional? Yes. So we are Christ. If anybody asks you, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? You know what you can say? I'm of Christ. I'm of Christ. Don't give them any answer to that. I'm of Christ. I want what Jesus wants. Jesus will take care of this. This is the world. This is so much division and so much strife and so much hatred. We don't need that. That's not a part of us. We love. We don't hate. We love one another. Favoritism. We could have, let's go to some of these scriptures. Titus 3 and 9. If you get it before me, you could read it.
But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain.
Yes. Anything that's going to gender strife and contention and back and forth, let it alone. I don't believe God is in that. Confusion and strife and fighting and, well, I believe this and I believe that. No. No. Avoid it. 2 Timothy 2 and 23 and 24. It says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they gender strife. But the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. So God is not in that strife. Some people love to get a scripture and try to trip you up about the scriptures. Well, what does this mean? And what does that mean? And how do you see this? And how do you see that? Avoid that. Any kind of contention and strife is not of God. 1 Timothy 2 and 1 through 3. Says, exhort therefore first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And that's what we can do for our nation. We don't have to get on any bandwagon, but we must pray. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for those in leadership, for kings and for all that are in authority. Pray. Saints, we need to be the most praying people that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So if you want a solution to our nations, what we can do, we can pray. We don't have to go out and hold up banners. Let's pray, saints. Let's be on our knees. Let's fast. Let's talk, because we're in a serious time. We don't know whether the freedoms that we're having now, how long we're going to have them. We've been blessed to be able to come and worship without being, you know, molested or, you know, taken to jail or whatever. So we need to pray. Then there's another way that gender strife, that hinders unity, and that is favoritism for certain people, certain preachers. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 13. If a saint is truly living a holy life and God give them two or three words, we can accept it. Yes. Everybody doesn't preach the same way. Some are very energetic, and some are so slow they almost put you to sleep, so to speak. But you listen to the word. If they're teaching you the word of God, you can accept that. Yes. If their life backs it up, you can accept it. So I hear somebody, I didn't get nothing out of that message. Excuse me? Did he not tell you the word of God? You can accept the word. Yes. Now, if they're living in adultery or they're living, you know that's wrong, you don't have to accept that. You know that they're not living right. You don't have to accept it. But if you know that their life is right, you can accept the words from the Word of God. So did someone get that for me? 1 Corinthians 10, 1, 10 to 13.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
So you see, we don't need to have favors. If you get the word of God from their mouth, and they get the word of God from God, let's accept it, regardless of, you know, popularity. Some people are more popular than others. That's just the way it is. They have a manner that appeals to people. But that's not what's important. What's important is Christ and Him crucified. Let's keep our eyes on Him and not on people. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 to 8. Someone read that for me, please.
For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one.
Amen.
And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Thank the Lord. And we are laborers together with God. Amen. Thank the Lord. So I hope that you'll take these little words and they will be an encouragement to us to be bound together in the love of Christ and not allow the temptations that the enemy bring to bring something between one another. And as soon as he does, let's get rid of it. Maybe sometime you go home and the Lord in the quiet and the Lord say, well, you don't have quite the right attitude toward that sister or that brother. Get rid of it right there. Pray. Ask God, Lord, I don't want anything between me and my brother. And let's do that. And I believe the Lord is going to bless and allow us to be a light in this dark age. Pray for me.